morning, Barrett.
Oh, good morning. Here's another batch of income tax claims to be considered. Oh, and sir, when you come to a Mr. Potter, remember he was the chap who had some unkind things to say about civil servants.
Well, so would you if you had that much tax to pay, poor devil. That'll be all.
Good morning, sir. Here's your cuppa. It's 10:30.
Oh, good. I missed the one at 10:15. You know, Florence, sometimes I hate my job.
Oh, why, sir?
Well, I don't know. Taking so much income tax away from these hard-working people, it hurts me.
Oh, you are in need of a cuppa, aren't you, sir?
No, I mean it. I really feel sorry for them.
That was an excerpt from Tea and Sympathy. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are General Sir Bodlin Plums, Mrs. Sheila Blige, the Horsham Ladies Guild Gliding Club, Freddie Funtwindle, Miss Rhoda Revolving Door.
She goes round with anyone.
To continue, Elvis Barbirolli, the Sultan of Herne Bay, and of course Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken, which of course is translated from the original Swahili. And may I be the first to agree it loses something in the translation. However, let me as usual tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I did a worker's playtime from a Chinese restaurant in Mill Hill. Produced by Futong Gates. It was a little different from usual, of course. I wore a pair of trousers with a split up the sides. And then my jokes were appropriate for the occasion. I told 23, 46 and a half of 57. Ending my act with a couple of choruses of chopsticks. It was all great fun, and they let me take home a tasty oriental dish from the cast of Susie Wong. Tuesday, I had a luncheon date with a very charming young lady you all know by the name of June Whitfield. I should explain that June has joined Beyond Our Ken this week, as Betty couldn't be with us. So I told her all about the show, what we do, how we behave, what Kenneth Williams is really like. And good girl, she still decided to come. Very glad to have her, too. However, on Thursday evening, I arrived home about 10 o'clock, and as I opened the front door... That's funny. There's a light on in the lounge. I wonder... No, it can't be a burglar. There's nothing of value in there. Only a few BBC checks. Oh, I expect I left it on.
Oh, hello, you're back early.
Oh, it's you, my next-door neighbour.
Yeah, fancy a cup of tea? I've got your kettle on.
Oh, well, I see you made yourself at home.
Yes, I tried the radio, but there was nothing much on.
But surely it's the night of Beyond Our Ken.
Well, you see my point. So I had to resort to reading something. Your books, poor, they're a dead loss. I thought I was onto something good with What Katie Did, but it turned out to be most inobnoxious.
Don't you realize that all these are great literary classics? Dickens and the Brontes, Samuel Pepys.
Yes, that was another misleading one.
And look there. Look, the complete works of Jane Austen, Emma, Sense and Sensibility.
All right, I know. As a matter of fact, I did try one of them, Pride and Tomato Juice or something.
Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I often read it. It's so refreshing these days to recapture the elegance and gentility of Georgian England. Look, let's try to give you a clearer picture of the whole thing.
We present Love in a Georgian Manner, or
The Last of the Red Hot Emmas.
Emma.
Yes, Papa?
More tea for the vicar.
You're exceedingly kind of you, Mr. Dingley.
Did you walk from the vicarage?
I fear so. My postillion's gone a bit wonky. Still a pleasant day.
Another soda scone.
A trifle windy, perhaps.
Then have a cheese.
Thank you. It is pleasing to make your acquaintance, Mr. Dingley, and indeed your daughters, of whom I have heard so much. There are six, I believe.
Yes, there is Lydia, the eldest. Poor Lydia, very much on the shelf. I fear she will never become wed.
How old is she?
75. Then there is Kate, Elizabeth, Emma here, and over there with her needlework is Charlotte.
Yes, an excellent fire screen she is embroidering. Most accomplished.
True, but alas, like so many young people today, she spends far too long sitting in front of the screen.
And that is all?
Well, no, there is one more. My youngest, a most bitter disappointment. I fear she is something of a problem.
Oh, Papa, do not speak so harshly of dear little Lolita.
"'Tis uncommon difficult, Vicar. Six daughters and all unmarried. I am most exceeding lumbered.
Take heart, dear Papa. You may yet be able to put some business the Vicar's way.
Yes, Papa. This very afternoon, Emma and I are expecting two gentlemen callers.
Upon my soul, then, perchance the notice I put outside the house has been effective.
Yes, I saw it when I came in. Six daughters, no waiting.
Well, you see, Papa, I think mayhap there is a chance to unload us both.
Oh, fantabulous day. But wait, these suitors, I trust they are both gentlemen.
It is hardly likely they would be ladies.
Vicar.
Yes?
Belt most exceedingly up. Emma, Charlotte, who are they who come to plight their troth?
A certain Mr. Herbert Pomfrey is one.
Well, he need not bother. I know of him. His troth is in a shocking plight. And the other?
Mr. Nosbert Hallijohn. A most eligible gentleman, Papa. Not of unprepossessing appearance and wealth. Ladies declare him handsome. He has 10,000 a year.
The outrageous flirt.
Nay, Papa, 10,000 pounds.
10,000 pounds, eh? Very well, Emma, slip out of that farthingale. For Mr. Hallijohn, we shall make it a whole penny gale.
Papa, while we await the gentleman, should I provide some divertisement with song and pianoforte?
A most pleasing idea, Charlotte. Especially since you are similar in resemblance to one Janet Waters.
Charlotte, they don't write songs like that nowadays.
No, they don't. I love Haydn, don't you? Ah, here comes Emma. Emma, my dear, your appearance is most becoming, but why no feminine adornments?
I fear that I have lost the knick-knacks from my whatnot. Oh, Papa, it is my fervent hope that Mr. Hallijohn may ask me to be his. Papa, it is they!
Mr. Herbert Pomfrey and Mr. Nosbert Hallijohn, but not necessarily in that order.
Good day to you, sirs. Mr. Hallijohn?
That is I, sir. Your servant, sir. What a cheery day it is, to be sure. Much better than yesterday, but then not quite as nice as the day before. However, taking the week as a whole, it has not, I venture to say, been too bad.
Do you do the shipping forecast as well?
Yes.
And this must be Mr. Pumphrey.
Your assumption is correct, sir.
May I offer you a pinch of snuff?
I'm obliged to you, sir. thank you. Delicious.
Yes, Mr. Mr. Pumphrey, you're putting it in your mouth.
What do you expect me to do? Stuff it up me nose?
Gentlemen, may I present two of my daughters? Charming, virtuous, and brimming with affection and sincerity.
Indeed, sirs, I am earnest.
You could have fooled me.
No, sir, this is Emma. Oh,
she's exceeding pretty.
And if you ask me, she's exceeding 30.
Yes, uncommonly pretty and most agreeable.
So I've heard.
Mr. Pumphrey, sir, your unpardonable manners and complete lack of social graces are matched only by your stultifying presence.
Pray, what does that mean?
You are a great big nit.
And you, ma'am, are repulsive in the extreme. And not only in the extreme, but all over.
Mr. Pumphrey, your words are coarse and offensive. And I'll thank you not to use them in front of the vicar.
Thank you, Mr. Dingley, but I fear I must leave this happy nuptial atmosphere. Got to go and see a man about a dog collar.
Good night, vicar.
Good night.
Now, gentlemen, you have not met my other daughter, Charlotte.
Your servant, sir.
Charming. Another lady of unlimited allurement.
She's a bit effeminate.
Miss Charlotte was an unusual fan. I do not think I've seen one like that before.
Possibly not, sir. It is an electric fan.
Oh, on my word. You must have very good connections.
Mr. Hallijohn, sir, we are informed that you served as a soldier.
True, Miss Emma. I am an ex-guard officer.
Oh, would that I could have seen you in your regimentals. Let us go over to the mantelpiece.
Pray, why?
I like a guard in front of the fire. Mr. Pumphrey, if I may be permitted to say so, your appearance is most illustrious.
I know. It's the stuff I use on my hair.
It gives it that all-over loveliness.
Shall we repair to the conservatory?
I beg your pardon?
Repair to the conservatory.
Why? Is it damaged?
Sir, though you may consider me bold, I will not mind if you kiss me.
My dear Charlotte, it would be most pleasing to kiss you, but it would be unfair of me to do so.
But why?
The rest of your life would be an anticlimax.
First, did they engage in light-hearted badinage, and even now and then some goodinage, interrupted only by the gentle ticking of the clock, and of course this piece of narrative.
I beg your extremely pardon, Hallijohn, time we were taking our leave.
Yes. Trusting that we may meet the nonce, if not sooner.
Tis the chance at Lady Caroline's on the morrow. Tis a hunt ball.
I was not aware she'd loved one.
Till the hunt ball, then.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hallijohn. You were extremely light on my feet.
A pleasure, Miss Emma. And now you must excuse me for a few minuets.
Charlotte, yes, Emma. Surprising news concerning Mr. Hallijohn. I think by what he said, he considers you most personable, most pleasurable, and most fanciable. It is you whom he desires. Oh, Emma. Go to him, Charlotte.
And what of you, Miss Emma?
What is you, Mr. Pumphrey?
I could not help overhearing. I was listening. Pray dance with me as you did just now, enchantingly.
Oh, it was but a simple gavotte.
Maybe, but 'tis not gavotte you do, 'tis the way that you do it. My arm, ma'am.
A most delightful ball.
Indeed, Vicar. Pity that Lady Caroline fell into the punch bowl. Poor soul, her dress was ringing.
Still, she was the belle of the ball.
Papa, Mr. Hallijohn has something to say to you.
Sir, I would humbly ask for Miss Charlotte.
Oh, happy day.
Papa, wonderful tidings.
tidings. Mr. Pumphrey and I are to wed.
I consent and award you a dowry of £500.
But, Papa, when young Millicent Dale was betrothed, her mother settled a most handsome amount.
Emma, I'm tired of hearing about Mrs. Dale's dowry.
What matter fortune if we are happy?
Oh, true. It's a joyous occasion. Well, Papa, your first two daughters are to be wed.
Nay, it is even more joyous. Kate, Elizabeth, and Lolita are also promised this night to three young officers. And even old Lydia is to become the Colonel's wife.
The Colonel?
Yes, for once he came without his glasses.
Well, Mr. Dingley, you must be exceeding happy.
Indeed, Vicar, life has been uncommon difficult with six daughters at home.
But will you not be a trifle sad and lonely?
Yes, but at least now I'll be able to get into the bathroom in the morning. And now, perchance, to meet our most pleasing and exceeding handsome quartet, the Hornets.
Kenneth Horn documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horn and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on the film industry. Are there many ups and downs in the cinema?
And if so, it's your fault for sitting on the end of the row. Well, now, first of all, let's talk to one of today's most popular film stars, Dirk Birkinshaw. Delighted to have you with us, sir.
A pleasant mind, I assure you. It so happens I've just rushed across from the studios where we've been shooting the last scenes from my latest motion picture, Always on a Saturday.
And what's next?
Oh, I'm starting shortly on an exciting and suspenseful story based on a most successful television series, 77, a Sunset Strip.
Mr. Birkinshaw, to what do you attribute your success?
Oh, all sorts of things, really. Charm, good looks, personality, a certain sensitivity in my approach to the cinema. And, of course, most successful stars these days possess some sort of gimmicks.
And what's yours?
Need you ask? Of course, the most important aspect for a celebrity such as myself is our publicity, without a doubt. I cannot stress sufficiently how essential this is.
You really think so?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes, yes. We film stars have got to make a good splash.
And from a star of today, we turn to a star of yesterday, a great star of silent pictures. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Yes, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening. Now, sir, I believe that you were known as the great lover.
Yes. Oh, yes, I had me moments, you know. I remember one love scene I had with Wilma Pickford.
Yes, yes, I'm sure you do. No, thank you.
Oh.
We can't go into that right now. Tell me, sir. When did you retire from the silver screen?
Retire, sir? I never retired.
You don't mean you're still in pictures?
I do indeed, sir. My last film was that great epic, Cleopatra's Needle. No.
Well, how long did that take to make?
35 years.
How long?
35 years, sir. A gigantic sweeping spectacle was how they described it, sir.
I see. And may I ask what you were in the film?
I was the cast of over 70.
Most of us at one time or another have idolized those who appear regularly on our screens. And it's inevitable that the well-known figure will always receive adulation from the fans. Sometimes it's even possible to visit the film set and actually watch one's idol in action.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. You don't know what a thrilling moment this is for me. I mean, to be actually here with you on the set in person.
It's a pleasure. After all, you've been my most fervent admirer for such a long time.
You know, Charles, I think you're an even more vital personality off the screen.
Oh, do you think so?
Yes.
Thank
you. I really do. I really do. Of course, you do look much older.
Yeah.
So they do wonders with makeup, don't they?
You can go off people, you know.
Charles, I'm only joking. You know how much I adore your film. I never miss your film.
Oh, all right, Robert, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get a little temperamental, you know, just before going in front of the camera.
It must be nerve-wracking. Mm. And yet on the screen you always appear so relaxed and confident. Yeah. No wonder you're a big star.
Position, please. This is a take.
Oh, that's me, Rodders. Do I look all right?
Immaculate as ever. Is that your leading lady?
Yes. She's very good, too.
Don't worry. You'll act her off the screen.
Stand by, please.
Good luck, Charles. Be fabulous.
Thanks, Rodders.
Right. Roland, action.
Now, Mrs. Brown, here are two identical piles of washing. One of them helps.
What are today's most popular films? Well, the output from Hollywood, varied though it may be, still maintains a high proportion of westerns and outdoor sagas. On location of the new spectacle, Son of Geronimo, is our own Cecil Smith.
Well, listeners, here in the arid deserts of Colorado, the huge cast of cavalry and Indians are amassed for the big battle scene now to be shot. A very nice gesture has been made towards me from the producer. I didn't mean that one. He has actually awarded me a job as a stand-in to one of the important stars. I'm in cavalry officer's uniform, perched high on the rocks up this vast canyon with a commanding view over the whole of it. Oh, yes, yes, the signal has been given for the start of the attack. I must say this business of being a stand-in is extremely well paid and an incredibly easy job. Here come the Indians now. They're making an all-out frontal assault, and there's a small war party attacking from the rear. I can just hear something. And this is Cecil, stand-in Snaith, who'll be standing for quite a long time now, returning you to the studio.
In these days of the lavish American musical films like Gigi and South Pacific, we're perhaps inclined to forget that once upon a time, Britain turned out some pretty memorable musical films. Such things as Eva Brown, Fred's the Boy, and Gangplank. Let us recall those halcyon days with a song from the soundtrack of The Love Nest, sung by Vinnie Matthews and Bobby Hulbert.
I've got a secret that's
accident you only got to be set free. Nice to tell you confidentially all the things you are to me. You're a Shakespeare sonnet, an Easter bonnet, a plate of rhubarb with a custard on it, which means that I'm in love with you.
You're a pot of honey, a lot of money. You're the front of Clinton when it's sunny, which means that I'm in love with you.
You are a camel pump, a castle arm in Spain.
You are a rubbish dump, and Manchester without brain.
You're a Botticelli, a Vermicelli. You're the wobble in a bowl of jelly. That means that I'm in love with.
Which means that I'm in love with.
Which means that I'm.
There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be babysitters. Should they be paid hush money? Also, in next week's program, we'll be having some light music from Sydney Torch. We shall be having a talk from a toothless Egyptian in gum Arabic. And there'll be an excerpt from the new film starring Doris Day and Frank Sinatra called The Pearl Card and Teddy Johnson Story. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener in the Navy. Does a person who sleeps in a hammock become highly strung? Good night.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, June Whitfield, Bill Pertwee, Janet Waters, the Hornets, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Merriman wrote the script, and the show was produced by Jake Sprouse.
Hugh Paddock is now appearing in My Fair Lady at the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane.